GreatSuccess.com. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today. And we ask, oh God, that you bless everyone. Let no one return back the same way. Grant everyone that encounter they will never recover from. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. The topic remains dropping the weights. Just before we dive in, most times the problem is not that these weights are actually there. The major challenge is that the weights don't really halt us. They don't stop us from moving. They just slow us down. And this is the importance of, you know, being slowed down. If you have to catch a train or you have a flight to catch, if you are late by some minutes, you may not be able to go without flight again, especially train or maybe some buses. Once that time passes, they are gone, and that means you have to wait for another one. So imagine the impact in life if you are slowed down. When you're supposed to have children, you don't have. When you're supposed to get married, you're not. When you're supposed to have your tertiary education, you don't have it. See, these things really matter, and that is why we must make sure that we avoid sluggishness or being slowed down at all godly cost. We must make sure we avoid them. Our anchor scripture today will be taken from Isaiah 59:1-5. It says, God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. It says, but our iniquities, our wrongdoings, our not doing things right have separated us from God, and our sins have hidden his face from us. So in this case, it's not God's fault. It's my fault. It's your fault. So it says, our iniquities have hidden his face so that he will not hear us. It says, our hands are defiled with blood and our fingers with iniquity. Our lips have spoken lies. Our tongue has muttered perversity, and no one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. So I know someone may be wondering, how does this affect me? How is this my concern? I've not killed anyone. My hands are not filled with blood and all those things. But you know, as we dive in, we're going to begin to see how each of these things may actually concern you more than you can ever imagine. Have you ever prayed, fasted, taken counsel, done everything you know how to do, especially spiritually, and it seems nothing changes? I don't know if you have ever experienced that, but I've experienced it over and over again, that you actually want things to happen at a particular time, you know, with a particular speed, and it seems something is just slowing it down or not allowing it to happen. And this is where we need to really pay attention, because the issue may not just be those big forces of darkness that we think may be responsible. Sometimes they are, but almost all the time they don't just act by themselves alone. They act based on some of these weights that we're going to be talking about today. They are anchored, they are strengthened by some of these weights. It's these weights that we're going to be revealing today that actually empower these forces of darkness to act. For example, let's say in a family, there has been issues of infidelity, issues of breaking of the marital vow, and someone is not born again in that family. Do you think it's very easy for that curse to actually have effect on that person? Yes. Someone who is born again in that family, it's going to be very difficult for that curse to have an effect, because this guy is already walking in righteousness. But someone who is not born again, someone who is not sensitive in the spirit, even if they are born again, someone who cannot deny themselves, who cannot fast, who cannot do all this, they will most likely fall in this sin. Now, we can see that it's now a corporation. I think we mentioned that sometimes ago, that when you're born again, the devil needs your corporation to make sure any cause has effect. It could be doubt, it could be unfaithfulness, it could be any of these things that we're going to be mentioning today. But you will need to cooperate with him one way or the other. And when you walk in sin, you are automatically giving him the chance to actually have the field day in your life. But God forbid that any of us fall into that kind of unrighteousness, in Jesus' name. So, just like I said, the culprit may just be the weights. These weights are secretly sabotaging our efforts. What are these weights? Previously, we've talked about a couple of things. Let me just quickly run through them. So if we go to the first one, we mentioned the fact that God cares so much about you and I, and we need to cast our cares upon Him. If we don't cast our cares upon God, we will see the effect today. We will be doubting God. We will be doing things that we are not supposed to do. We will be carrying unnecessary weight on ourselves. So we need to cast our cares on God. Then we also mentioned the things that we need to cast: anxiety, anger, jealousy, and all these things. These are the ways we need to cast to God. We need to throw them at God and let God take the yoke. And last week, we were able to focus more on the kind of yoke, the kind of weight that God wants us to carry. You know, among these things include soul winning. That is the kind of yoke or weight that God wants us to carry now. And it is light. It is just for us sharing good news with other people, those who are not aware of it, or those who have been starved of that good news. And then diligence, being disciplined, being faithful. These are the things we need to do. These are the weights we need to carry now instead of the unnecessary ones that God doesn't want us to carry. Then hard work. We need to work hard. We need to know that even though we may be talking about smart work, we need to be working hard at being smart. There is no substitute for hard work. We can only modify the kind of hard work we want to do, but eventually it's going to be needed. Then we mentioned the labor of love. We need to love other people. Love is a labor. What is labor? Labor is anything that makes you exert some effort. So for you to really love anyone, we're not talking about feelings here. Those are emotions. But we are talking about love. Love is sacrifice. If you want to love anyone, it requires labor. So there's a labor of love. There's labor in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, making it a pillar of our lives. And then labor in prayer, making sure we pray consistently. It's labor. It's just like when you go to work, you don't even have to feel like going to work, but you still wake up in the morning and go to work. So the same thing, labor in the Word of God, you must have assigned time and all that. Then labor in prayer and so on. So that's what we did last week. But today, we want to see how we need to actually judge God faithful. If you look at the example of Abraham, the Bible says that Abraham judged God faithful. What does it mean to judge? It means you have actually considered a couple of circumstances, a couple of things the person has done before. You're actually looking at their lives, looking at what they have done, who they are, what people have said about them, what you actually feel about them or what you know about them. You use that to judge them. You don't just judge someone in passing. No, you take time to actually evaluate everything. Abraham evaluated God and he judged him faithful. And what did he do after that? He began to praise God consistently. So we also need to judge God and judge him faithful. We need to understand that God is faithful. In fact, even the devil is faithful in doing what he knows how to do, doing evil. The only unfaithful person that can be found in the midst of that triangle, it's you and I. We are the ones who end up not being faithful, not doing what God wants us to do per time. So we need to judge God faithful and know that the enemy will not rest. He's always consistently trying to attack us. But God is also consistently blocking all the wiles of the evil ones, all the attacks of the enemy. So who is unfaithful here? If there must be unfaithfulness, then it's you and I. That's why we need to evaluate things today. God says his ends are not shortened. So when you pray, when you fast, there is only one reason why things are not happening. It's not God. We need to first judge God to be faithful. Whether you've experienced delay, whether you are not seeing the kind of answer you want to see, you have prayed, you have fasted, God is still faithful. You need to judge him faithful. How do you judge him? Check his life. We are saying tactical ways. You check his life. Check his word. Check what he has done in the life of other people. And it's no respecter of persons. So God is faithful. We have judged him faithful. Then his ears are not heavy. That means all your prayers that you are praying to him, fasting and all those things, God says he's not deaf. He can hear you. He can hear me. So we have settled that already. God's ends are not shortened. He's not incapacitated. He has the power. He has the empowerment. Then secondly, he can hear us. He can hear you and I. So where could the issue come from? Verse 2 tells us. It says, our iniquities have separated us from God. Now, I know this particularly talks about people who are not born again, who are separated from God. But in this case today, we are looking at how our unfaithfulness, how our not doing what we are supposed to do, or our not knowing what we are supposed to know, can actually separate us from the blessings of God, separate us from receiving the reality. In fact, it cannot separate us from the blessing of God, but it can separate us from the reality, the act of us touching the reality of the blessings. And he says, it's our sins, it's us not doing the right things that have not allowed us to get those blessings. He says, for hands are defiled with blood, fingers with iniquity, lips are spoken lies. I know someone may say, but I don't tell lies. But what happens when God says, let the weak say, I am strong, and you are saying you are weak? Who is speaking the lie there? It's not even the devil, it's you, it's me. If God says you are successful, and all you see are those things that are not in line with the word of God, then someone is lying. That means I'm not saying the truth of God's word. So you can see how we may be lying sometimes, and we think we are saying the truth. As long as you are not saying things that are consistent with the word of God, it means I'm lying. It means you are lying. Then it says, your tongue has muttered perversity. What are you saying that God has not said? What are you saying that is not consistent with the word of God? What are you saying in the corner of your heart that is not consistent with the word of God? These are the things that are hindering the blessing. If you speak the right words and you act the right way, God will confirm it. Praise God. So if you read verse 4 also, it talks about no one calls for justice. Remember, the word of God says that every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you will condemn them. And it's saying here now that we have not called for justice. We have not condemned those things the enemy has said. So why are we saying God is the one at fault? He's not at fault. Then if you go ahead, it says, nor does anyone plead for truth. God says in his word that, come, bring your strong reasons. Have you brought your strong reasons to God? Are you just praying with emotions, or you are bringing your strong reasons why these things must happen? Why God must do what he has promised to do? Are we doing that? If we are not doing that, then let's go back to the drawing board and see where we have failed. He says, they trust in empty words and speak lies. What are empty words? Words that are not in alignment with the word of God. Your words must agree with the word of God. If it agrees, God will confirm it. Always, all the time. He says, they trust in empty words and speak lies. Speak what is consistent with the word of God. He says, they conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. What is evil? It's not necessarily, and when you think about hurting other people, when you speak words that are not consistent with God, God calls that evil. It is wrong. It's unbelief. God calls unbelief evil. He says they bring forth iniquity. And of course, if you think wrong, if you speak wrong, you will act wrong. So it's for you and I to actually consider our ways today and say, okay, this success I want to achieve, where am I failing? What am I not doing right yet? Because if God is faithful and we know the enemy is always attacking and God is always blocking the enemy, then it's all about me now. What should I do that I'm not doing that is actually delaying the blessings of God, that is hindering the blessings of God from coming? So we're going to look at those things we need to drop. And like I said before, these hidden secrets, they don't normally halt our movement. They don't stop us from moving. They just slow us down. So number one, drop unforgiveness. It is the number one killer of Christians' prayers. God says, if you don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. And if you are not forgiven, our prayers cannot be answered. So number one, what is that weight that needs to be dropped? Unforgiveness. And I want you to actually, during the week, check the website, thegoodsuccess.com, and look at that past episode. It's almost probably 2 years now when we talked about forgiveness. We emphasized there that unforgiveness can be so hidden. It's subtle that especially as Christians, all you're just going to see is, I'm right, is wrong. And you may carry unforgiveness without even knowing. Did we know that? You may not forgive someone and you think you are forgiving the person. And how do you know? The moment you see the person and your heart starts skipping and you begin to feel like something is wrong, you don't want to talk to them, you don't want to smile to them, then you know there's a problem. You need to fix that because it hinders prayers. In fact, when we were growing up in the faith then, one of the things that make people hate SU people, you know, for those who are not familiar with SU, that's the term that we, because I was part of them, that we used to refer to those who were born again those days. One of the major things that people hate about them is that they are unforgiving. As teacher, as whatever, unforgiving, full of bitterness. and then they are praying all the time. People couldn't even figure it out that if he's praying so much, why is he not forgiving other people? So you and I want to check our lives. It all starts with people who are close to us. Like I said in that place, oughts. People who are not close to you will not ought you. It's only people who are close to you that you can step on their toes. So you want to check your spouse, your friend, your family member. This is where this normally comes from. Your fellow employee. You're working with someone, they did something, and you see them every day, but you just feel like it's gone. But you know it's not gone. So we need to check these things and forgive. And forgive and forget as much as possible. Forgive, even if it may be difficult to forget, do things that will make you forget, that will create a new experience. When you see that person coming and your heart feels like you should not talk to them, that is when you need to go to them and smile and greet them. Pray for them if possible, so that thing will be destroyed. Unforgiveness is one of the weights that we need to drop right now. And I want you to just take a moment and say, Father, whoever it is in my life that I have not forgiven, I drop that unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. Then number two, drop pride. Pride is also another subtle one that when it's there, you won't even know. And pride is so dangerous that God himself said is the one that will pull down the proud. He said, those who are proud will be brought down. That's paraphrasing now. God says he will pull them down. He will drag them down. God said so. It's a promise of God to the proud. So we want to be sure that we are not proud. How do we know whether we are proud or not? The moment you are trusting yourself, you are giving accolades to yourself instead of returning it back to God. Most times our pride is not even towards people, it's towards God. God has done something, but you are too ashamed to publicly declare that God did it. Well, that's dangerous. It is the same sin that the devil committed. So we want to be sure that we are not walking in pride. Humble yourself. I should humble myself before God, before men. Give honor to whom honor is due. When you begin to fail to obey God's instructions, it is nothing but pride in disguise. So we need to make sure that pride is not holding us back. And you know, I've shared this testimony over and over again. Our pride will have hindered certain areas of my life. Maybe I won't be where I am today, not just positionally, in achievement, in everything. If God did not help me in those times, who is it around you that can actually help you, or you think they are too small to help you? You need to ask them questions, but you can't ask them questions because you feel they are too small. That's pride. So we need to be sure that, hey, whoever it is that God has sent to me, I must be careful not to let pride hinder me from getting the blessing that God has given to me through their lives. Pride. Drop pride. And if you are feeling that you are not proud now, you are probably proud. See, the moment you feel I'm not proud, then you are the first person to check yourself. Because even humble people don't always feel like they are humble. They are trying to remain humble. So if you think I'm not proud, then you are the first person to check yourself. Then number three, drop fake contentment. Bible tells us that we should be content with what we have, but there is what we call fake contentment. Fake contentment is being satisfied with where you are. Remember, we are talking about the ways that drag us down from achieving good success. So sometimes you just conclude within yourself that where you are is the best, and God is saying you have dwelt on this mountain too long. So we need to be sure that we are not experimenting and walking and experiencing fake contentment. Fake contentment is you trying to convince yourself that where you are is good enough. I'm not talking about complaining. I'm talking about God is clearly showing you a better future, but you are saying, no, I'm just okay. I cannot take any other course. I can't take any other certification. I'm just okay. And God is saying, no, you still have like 5 to go. And you're like, no, I'm okay. I don't want to go anyway anymore. That is how some people hinder themselves from God. I know people that they just felt it's okay. They don't need to go anymore. And they remain stunted. In fact, you know, of course, if someone is not going, you'll be going down. And it's not a good experience. So we need to be sure that we are not in that place. And this verse really relates to that. The Bible says, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. You won one soul before, you thought that's all. You prayed for 5 minutes, you said, okay, let me just keep 5 minutes. You help people, you give to the poor, you think, okay, it's okay, that's all I can do. You are giving offering, you've remained like that for years, never increasing, never promoting it. And you're like, I'm just okay. No, it's not okay. That is fake contentment. That's not the kind of contentment God asked us to have. So fake contentment is one of the weights that hinder people. Look at yourself right now. What status quo have you received? Have you accepted? And you have said, oh, it's okay, let me just remain like this. When God wants to promote you 1,000 times more. If you are not 1,000 times more than where you used to be, then you shouldn't have any contentment. Because God says, a little one shall become 1,000, a small one a great nation. Have you become a great nation? That means the journey continues. And then, drop anxiety. That's a major one. Do you know you can be anxious without knowing it? I can tell you that because anxiety was a major issue in my life. That's why Philippians 4:6 is one of the verses I love the most. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. So, anxiety is one of the things that hinders us. Because once you are anxious, you can't have faith and be anxious at the same time. And if you don't have faith, how can you take your lion's share in life? It takes faith, it takes boldness to take your lion's share in life. So if you are timid, if you are anxious, when God clearly says, don't be anxious about anything, that is disobedience. We are anxious just because we don't believe. Which takes us to the next thing, fear. Anxiety, fear, unbelief, doubt, they all work together. They are birds of the same feather. They flock together. Anxiety, fear of the unknown. When God says, I will be with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we need to have faith. Fear hinders the blessings of God. So if you are not where you need to be and you are praying, you are fasting, well, we need faith. Because no matter how much of all those things we do, if we don't have faith, then we are so far from where God wants us to be. So we need faith to be firm. We need faith to achieve those things. You need boldness, not just bold faith, boldness. And then, of course, once there's faith, unbelief is gone. Doubt. Doubt is when you are neither here nor there. You have faith, you have fear. That is the meaning of doubt. You are here, and then you have jumped here. You are not making any decision. Doubt is one of it. And guess what? It's not the fault of God that you are doubtful. It's my fault, it's your fault. That I'm doubtful, it's my fault. If you are doubtful, it's your fault. So we need to grow our faith so that we won't be doubtful. And once we doubt, remember in James, it says that, let the man who doubts not think that we receive anything from God. So that means after praying, after fasting, after doing all these things, you are still doubtful. God says he will do it. Let's believe for once and act it for once. What are you going to do when God answers your prayers? How are you going to dance when you are in that marriage, on your wedding day, when you buy that new car, when you have your new house, when you have that promotion? How are you going to praise God? Then do it right now. Let's do it right now. Let's begin to live that reality right now and drop our doubts. And lastly today, lack of vision. Drop lack of vision. It's a weight that holds people down. It says, where there is no vision, the people what? They cast up restraint. The people perish. And it says, where there is no vision, right? When people cannot see a future, how can they run? If people cannot see anything in the future, if all they see are things blocking their future, blocking their path, they will run because there is nowhere they are running to. And the Bible says that, write the vision, make it plain upon a tablet, that he may run who reads it. What is your vision? What is the vision that God has shown you and I? What is that vision? Someone says nothing is working at all. Why is that happening? It's because they cannot see what God has said. Instead of saying, I'm a little challenged, but I know I have the victory. And the Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You can see that once you have faith, you can talk about victory. You can see the future. That's why you're talking about victory. That no matter what's happening right now, even if it doesn't align with what you're expecting, you're still going to praise God because you know that, yes, the bottle is almost full. It's not that the bottle is not full. God has done great things. So if you see the future, you will be able to run and get it. Write the vision. Make it plain. And it's my responsibility, it's your responsibility to write the vision and make it plain. So plain that you have no doubt. What is your vision? If you don't have a vision for this week, let's write it. What is the vision for this month? The month has not ended. What is the vision before December? God will still do what he said he will do. Write the vision, make it plain. Print pictures, put it where you are. In my office, I have things I've written, and I know they're going to come to pass. I don't remember anything I wrote with faith that didn't come to pass. If you write it in faith, and you can see the word of God that backs it up, God will surely do it. And of course, that's the same thing with living in the past. That was the problem of the Israelites. They were always consistently living in the past. Looking at Egypt, the place of slavery, the reality of the past was stronger to them than the reality of the future. Let's write our vision. Don't let the past look more pleasant than the future. Don't let it look more appealing than the future that God wants to take us. And the bonus point today, drop ignorance. Like they normally say, what people don't know may just be killing them. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If we don't know it, we can't have it. What has God promised that you are not even aware of? See, all those things. As I was reading the Bible preparing for this, I saw a scripture I've read years ago. And I saw things that I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. But how would I have been able to implement those scriptures before reading them? I couldn't implement them. But now that I've read them, I can implement them. I can enforce them again. Because now I see what God promised me several years ago. I can see the reality again. So for you and I also, even as we wrap up today, let's drop ignorance. Ignorance is not God's fault. It's not the devil's fault. Imagine if Jesus did not know the scriptures and Satan came to him, tempting him. He will have bowed down to the enemy. He will have jumped down and that ministry will have ended. God will have been looking for another person to come and take the place of Jesus. So for you and I, we must not be ignorant of what God says. He says, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. What should we not be ignorant about? Don't be ignorant of what God says. Don't be ignorant of who you are in Christ, even in life, physically, morally, financially. Don't be ignorant of who you are. And don't be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. He said, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. For it goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Be aware of his wiles. But be more aware of the word of God. Because once you are aware of the word of God and you do it, those wiles of the enemy will just be gone. And that's the end of the episode today. A lot of word for us to actually consider today. But I pray that as we begin to drop the ignorance, as we stop living in the past and begin to obey the word of God, drop our doubts. For once, let's take one thing that this week, this particular thing, I will believe it and act it and believe that it is true. And you will see how God will begin to work on your behalf. And you don't drop it until you get the answer, because the answer will surely come. Write the vision. Make it plain. Make it plain upon the tablets that you may run as you read it. Praise God. So that's the end of the episode today. Praise God. It's time for us to implement these things. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you help every single one today. That Lord, is it doubt, is it fear, is it ignorance? Lord, release fresh grace for us to begin to do all those things that are required, to drop all these unnecessary ways that are holding us back, that are hindering us from getting your blessings. Since we know, since we have judged you faithful, since we know that your ears are not heavy, that your ends are not shutting, Father, we know, Lord, it's our responsibility to begin to do those things that are required of us, to drop all this unnecessary weight. Lord, we receive that grace. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Next week is our Bible study again. So make sure you read your book of Nehemiah. I think 7 and 8 or 8 and 9. Let's just read and prepare to be partakers of it next week. Let's read it differently. Let's trust God to reveal things to us that we can immediately implement in our lives in the book of Nehemiah. So that's it. And I pray that God bless everyone. As you appear again next week, be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and bye everyone.
The good success has come.